We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Albert Breer of Monday Morning Quarterback. Albert, what was your review, if you will, of the first episode of Hard Knocks?
You know, I thought it was good. To me, one of the most interesting things was how open they were, you know, and, you know, obviously, you know, Hughes had some tragedy in his family over the last couple of weeks, and, you know, the fact that they showed that, you know, it's a little surprising to see it there, you know, because it's such a deeply personal thing. And so, you know, that part of it, I think, was you know, interesting to watch. And you know, I think the command he has over the team now, too, and, you know, how forceful he was, that stuck out. And then I think, like everybody else, you know, Jarvis Landry, Carl Nassib, you can see the character starting to emerge there.
Albert, I thought it was beyond fascinating and just odd and weird, the interaction between Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley, when Haley's basically saying the team's not tough enough and we got to get guys practicing. And then, like, Hugh Jackson just kind of wants to swing his deal around and say, yeah, well, when you sit in my chair, it's different. Well, you saw the body language from Haley as he looked at Greg Williams and other, you know, Al Saunders has been a head coach. And, like, I thought that was just odd that he would make that comment, considering those guys have been head coaches before and in fact, more successful head coaches.
Yeah, and, you know, I think you saw a lot of the old Parcells in Haley there. And you know, and remember, you know, he grew up watching the way Parcells did it. And if you guys recall, it used to be that if you were injured, they put you on an exercise bike on the field, and you'd be wearing a jersey that had a red cross on it. And it was sort of one of these things where it's like, you want to make sure they're doing something during practice, and you also don't want to make it comfortable for them. And so, like, Parcells would almost humiliate the injured guys a little bit to try to motivate guys to get themselves back on the field. So you can see a lot of the old Parcells way in Haley. And, you know, those guys are very, very, you know, very, very resolved in their ways. And you know, I think that that's, probably there's probably a lot of that Haley saw working for Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh too, and then of course the flip side is for Hugh, it's, you know, how do we get the team to week one healthy? And so, I mean, I think these things probably happen more than we know,
right?
In those coaches meetings, and look, I mean, Hugh clearly trusts Todd Haley because he's given him full autonomy over the offense. I mean, it's Todd Haley's offense; they're running there now. And so, you know, I think that there's just, it's one of those things where Todd's resolved in his position on how to handle players and has never been afraid to voice his concerns with the way a program's running. And, you know, that caused some friction in Pittsburgh for sure. And, it was interesting to see it in that setting, but I think those sorts of confrontations probably happen more than we know behind closed doors.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, on a couple other things, the Jarvis Landry speech was great, although it was a little weird because it felt like every other player in that room was like asleep. But the but the speech was awesome.
Wasn't there a guy like eating mussels or something too?
I don't know. And somebody had their hood on. Like, take your hoodie off when the guy's giving you that kind of speech, I think. You know.
Yeah, I can appreciate Jarvis Landry doing that. I also know that you know, that goes over differently with different players. You know, some players respond to it, other players don't. I know a couple of people who played with Ray Lewis in Baltimore, and no one did that sort of thing more than Ray, right? And you know, he told me there was like a group of players that would sit back in the back of the room when Ray would do that and like kind of like bury their head in their desks laughing, you know, and then they would, and then everybody's making fun of him behind his back, you know, and so I think anybody who's been in that sort of setting before understands that sort of thing happens. And so I think there were probably some guys in that room that were motivated by what Jarvis said, and there were probably some guys in that room that may have been kind of making fun of him behind his back. I think that's the way it goes with those sorts of things.
You know, a couple things on that, Albert. Number one, Corey Coleman was laying on the floor, and Corey Coleman got traded, I think, the next day.
So it really broke this down. I watched it on my phone, on my red eye. So I don't think I had that. I didn't have that quite. I don't have that level of detail in my analysis, but that's something. Corey Coleman was on the floor.
He's laying on the floor, and now he gets traded, basically cut. And in number two, you know, Jarvis is not, like you mentioned Ray Lewis, and I get that. Like sometimes, you know, I play with guys who are very outgoing, outspoken, and when you do that every day, it becomes lip service.
J.J. Watt came off to me as phony in the Texans one.
And maybe that's true with J.J., but like...
And I'm sure, you know what, like the Texans guys make fun of him behind his back too.
Yeah, so of course, but with Jarvis, he doesn't really talk that much. Like he's not outspoken. Yeah. He's more like go about his business. He wants to talk a little trash on the field, but in terms of the speeches and stuff, that seemed a little out of character, which is why it may actually hold some weight.
Yeah, and here's why I think you're right, Dustin, that early in camp that, you know, and I had the fact that it sort of backed up Haley's point, too. You know, I think it backed up what Haley was saying in the meeting and the concerns that some of the coaches were raising. And then it's happening that early in camp, I think certainly is something worth paying attention to. And, you know, that's not the sort of, I feel like we haven't gotten that sort of insight, really. The last couple of hard, so it's great that we get that view of it. Here's why I think it's encouraging too. One of the reasons why the Dolphins got rid of the guys they got rid of, and Landry was one of them, Sue was another. They really cleaned out their locker room and brought in veterans like Robert Quinn and Danny Amendola and Albert Wilson to try to change the culture there. One of the big things in Miami last year was that it wasn't so much that like guys like Sue and Landry were a huge problem on a day-to-day basis. Like Landry could be a handful on game day, but not really outside of that. Was that when things went in the wrong direction last year for the Dolphins, like those guys didn't do anything to stop it. And so I think seeing Landry doing this and being engaged at this level is actually really good news.
Yeah.
Because as his contract became a problem in Miami, he really started to disengage with that sort of thing. And so, I think there's a micro problem there that they're probably working through. And hearing what Jarvis and what Haley said, on the flip side, I think there's like a macro element to this that's really good, which is that, you know, Jarvis Landry seems to be really engaged with his new team in a way that he wasn't last year in Miami.
We're talking with Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Albert, non-Hard Knocks related issues. It will be next week, but Antonio Callaway, 3:00 in the morning on Sunday, suspended license, a little bit of marijuana. If you saw the dash cam footage, it looked like the cop at some point felt a little bad that he was citing him, said it was not a big deal. Gun parts in the car, not illegal, a little bit of marijuana, 3 a.m., didn't tell the team. We know, you know, on its own, this is not that big a deal, I guess, but combined with this guy... history and the fact that it was 3 in the morning.
In terms of the law, it's nothing.
Right. In terms of the law, it's not a big deal. It's nothing. I think it is a big deal because it shows a lack of awareness yet again.
Yeah, I think it's, in terms of the law, it's not a big deal. Right. I mean, if this is some random guy who's been in the league for 3 years, I think we could all justifiably say, you know, this is just a 23, 24-year-old kid acting like a 23, 24-year-old kid, whatever. You know, this is a guy who failed his drug test at the combine, who had all kinds of issues at Florida before that, which are a huge reason why he was available to the Browns in the fourth round. It took him, 4 months, right? 3-4 months to step in it again, you know? Yeah. And I just think you're right. Like, awareness is the right word because no one lives in a vacuum, you know? You go to the NFL, it's not a total fresh start. You know, you have... whatever your history is your history. And, you know, I think you have to sort of behave yourself accordingly. And the fact that, like, this is what this guy was busted for before, and this is what he had problems with in Florida, has now come up, no matter what the excuse is, less than 4 months into his pro career, is a huge red flag, you know. And it certainly, I think if you're Hugh or you're John Dorsey, you're sitting the kid down and saying, you know, that's like, A, this is unacceptable, and B, you need to use this as a learning experience, or you're going to be out of here. And so it'll be interesting to see where it goes from there, because, you know, again, if this is 2 or 3 years down the line with this kid, that'd be one thing. It's happening so soon after he fell in the draft, after he failed the combine test, I think it's certainly reason to pay attention.
Another part of this, and we're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB, Albert, the Josh Gordon side of this thing, the text message from Josh to coach and saying, I'll see you soon. Is that encouraging? Should we think that we will see him soon?
Sure. I mean, I think that the fact that he said see you soon means, where is that? I don't know what soon means. You know, soon could mean tomorrow. It could mean September 1st. I just don't know. You know, and probably part of that is being dictated by, you know, the terms of his treatment and everything else. And so, it's encouraging that he, you know, he's communicating with people in the building. That's an important piece in this, because I think you guys know that there were some issues the last time with that. And, you know, the fact that he's in a position right now where he feels comfortable saying, see you soon, I think you can at least see that as a positive. We don't know what the time frame is, but at least seems like that time frame hasn't been extended over the last couple of weeks, which is a good thing.
Albert, what is the latest on Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, Odell Beckham, and is there a chance any of the three get traded before the season?
Well, obviously two are separate from the other one. You know, I think starting with Beckham, I think there's a chance that the Giants find a way to get a deal done with him before the start of the season. You know, my understanding is the talks have been amicable, and I think both sides have handled this the right way. Pat Shurmur, Dave Gettleman come in, and immediately Shurmur starts, you know, opens a line of communication with Beckham. And whether he was in the building or not in the spring, they were talking through everything. So, you know, for the Giants, I think you got to give them credit for getting a couple guys in there who are going to build a relationship with this guy. And then on the flip side, I think, you know, Beckham showing up in good faith basically facilitated the chance to do a deal now. And that part of it to me was necessary. You had to put some skins on the wall if you're Odell Beckham, and you had to kind of build up a record with the new guys before they were going to feel comfortable going there. And so it's a challenging deal to do because, you know, obviously the receiver market's exploded. Cook's got $16 million. Watkins got $16 million. And Beckham's a better player than those two. But at the very least, I think the groundwork's been done. And the other two, as far as the other two go, I think the biggest question with both of them is if they do get new deals, will they be market corrections or will they be incremental increases over what Ndamukong Suh and Von Miller got a few years ago? The market for defensive players hasn't moved in 3 years. Suh got that deal from Miami. The next year, Von Miller basically got the same deal from Denver. And so at that point, when Suh signed his deal, it was 86% of what the top quarterback made. If you take 86% of $30 million, which is where the quarterback market is now, you're talking about a number in like the high 20s per year. And if you say 80%, that's 24 per year. So that makes it difficult. I think the Rams and Donald will find a way to work something out. I don't think that that's necessarily imminent, but I think eventually they will creatively figure out a way to get a deal done. The Raiders situation with Mac, I think, is a little bit more difficult because I think from the Raiders' perspective, it's a cash flow issue. And I know some teams have looked at that and said to themselves, let's see if we can start to plant the seeds for maybe looking at the idea of trading for Khalil Mack. Now, I don't know how many teams have actually called them, but I know there are some teams that have had some discussions about here's what we would be willing to give up for Khalil Mack, because the buzz around the league is that the Raiders are going to have a hard time getting anything done with him and that he's resolved to stay away.
Albert, great stuff, buddy. Thanks for joining us as always. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.